This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A federal lawsuit landed this week accusing Michael Jackson's estate of trafficking kids. The plaintiffs aren't strangers either. They're not disgruntled employees looking for a payday. They're the Casillo family. Four siblings, Michael Jackson called his second family for over 25 years. And according to the lawsuit, Aldo Casillo alleges that when he was 7 years old, he was in Michael Jackson's bedroom when the abuse began. Jackson allegedly told him afterwards that this was how he expressed love. Aldo says he didn't question it. This was Michael, and he believed Michael loved him. Now, here's what separates this from every other accusation that has been levied against Michael Jackson over the past 3 decades. The Casillos weren't just acquaintances. They weren't peripheral figures in Jackson's orbit. They weren't folks who just showed up for a weekend at the Neverland Ranch and never saw him again. They were his inner circle, his safe harbor. And for 25 years, they were his most passionate public defenders. Eller's brother, Frank, wrote an entire book in 2011 called My Friend Michael, where he declared on the record in print for anyone to read that Jackson's love for children was innocent and profoundly misunderstood. The family appeared on Oprah. They went on Primetime Live. Used to be a news magazine show back in the day. They swore repeatedly that Michael Jackson never did anything to them. Now they want $200 million, and they're calling him a serial abuser who harmed them beginning when some of them were as young as 7 or 8 years old. So what changed? And who's telling the truth? The Casillos, who defended Jackson for 3 decades, or the Casillos suing his estate today? The family connection to Jackson goes all the way back to 1984. Dominic Casillo was the general manager of the Hemsley Palace Hotel in New York, and Jackson was a regular guest. They struck up a friendship. Jackson asked if Dominic had kids. He did, 5 of them. Jackson wanted to meet them, so Dominic brought the king of pop home for dinner. What started as a celebrity encounter became something far more entangled. Jackson showed up at the Casillo house unannounced. He joined them for holidays. He insisted on saying grace before meals. After 9/11, Jackson stayed with the family for 4 months. In 2007, he moved into their New Jersey basement. Frank, who was 4 years old at that first meeting, eventually became Jackson's personal assistant at 18, then his manager. The kids traveled the world with him. The Dangerous Tour, the History Tour, Brazil, Europe. This wasn't a friendship. This was a meshment. The lawsuit now claims that Jackson isolated each sibling emotionally while surrounding them with wealth, access, and declarations of love. Each child allegedly believed they were the only one with a special relationship with Michael. They say they didn't know their brothers and sister were also being abused. Not until 2019, when they finally talked to each other. That's their story now. But there's a mountain of evidence showing they told a very different story for a very long time. In 2005, Frank Casillo, then going by the name Frank Tyson, appeared on ABC's Primetime Live and made a statement that couldn't be clearer. He said if Michael ever laid a finger on him, he would not be sitting in that chair. In 2010, the family appeared together on the Oprah Winfrey Show. When asked directly if Jackson was ever inappropriate with them, the answer was unequivocal: never. They talked about family dinners. They talked about how Michael made sure everyone said their prayers. They called him a beloved relative. In 2011, Frank published his book and wrote that he wanted to be precise and clear on the record so that everyone could read and understand Michael's love for children was innocent. That same year, he went to the Wendy Williams Show and was asked if Jackson had ever acted inappropriately. His answer, nothing at all. And that's what makes, I think... me upset about the allegations, anyone upset about the allegations. You're going on the record for all these years. And yes, I know this is victims process this stuff differently. Sometimes you're going to deny it. Sometimes I get all that. I get all that. But you wrote books, you went on TV, you were a grown-ass adult doing a lot of these things. And yes, I know, again, I have no idea what the hell Michael Jackson did. I'm not here to defend him, and I'm not here to say he's a horrible human being who did all these things either. Because the answer is, I don't know. But it is rather suspicious. Take Michael Jackson out of the equation. Put any other person there. And if you write books and you go on television and you go on press tours talking about how wonderful this person is, and then many years later you decide, oh, maybe there's some money to be had here. And suddenly everything you publicly profess to is no longer true. That's a little weird. Now, I'm not saying that they can't be accurate or they can't be true. I'm just saying it's a little weird, and this case and these accusations need to be examined carefully. As recently as 2018, Frank was actively trying to turn that book into a television series celebrating his relationship with Jackson. That's not someone processing trauma in silence. That's someone building a brand on defending Michael Jackson's innocence. There's another credibility issue for the Casillos that they have to answer for, and it has nothing to do with the abuse allegations. In 2007, brother Eddie claims Jackson recorded 12 songs in his basement studio. After Jackson died, Eddie sold those tracks to the estate, and three of them ended up on the 2010 posthumous album Michael. The problem is that Jackson's own family, his mother Catherine, his sister Latoya, his nephews Tyrell, Taj, and TJ, members of the group 3T, if you're a fan of 90s R&B, immediately said the vocals were not Michael's voice. You may remember this album. I remember it. And we're going, that doesn't quite sound like Michael. There was a controversy about it, too, at that moment in time. If you remember back, what is it now, 16 years ago when that album came out? Producer Teddy Riley, who worked on the tracks, later admitted he was set up and pressured to defend them as authentic. In 2022, Sony quietly removed all three songs from streaming platforms. Yeah. So it turns out those songs, these tracks that this family has allegedly said were Michael Jackson, weren't Michael Jackson, and defended it for quite a while, convinced Sony Music to literally put some of those tracks out as Michael Jackson's music on Michael Jackson's albums. Eddie and Frank defended those tracks as genuine Jackson's recordings for years, including on Oprah. Whether they knew the vocals weren't real or were themselves deceived, the episode raises uncomfortable questions about the family's reliability as witnesses to anything involving Michael Jackson. It also shows a propensity to try and profit off of Michael Jackson. Yeah, these are real songs by him, recordings of him. They don't quite sound like him, though. It is. It's him. He's just, he had the sniffles. Whatever bullshit reason they came up with, it didn't quite sound like Michael Jackson. It sounded like someone trying to impersonate Michael Jackson, but it was close enough and everybody really wanted fresh Michael Jackson material. So Sony said, say it's Michael Jackson. That's essentially what went on. And they were all too happy to cash those checks. So there's that. Then there's the money. In 2019, after HBO aired Leaving Neverland, the Casillos approached Jackson's estate with abuse allegations. According to the siblings, an estate representative showed up at their father's New Jersey restaurant that December. Nine family members gathered in a private room upstairs, allegedly. One document at the table. Read once. Sign immediately. No lawyers, no copies. Aldo says he signed. while in therapy, still struggling to understand his own trauma. The estate tells a different story. They say the settlement was extensively negotiated and voluntarily executed. The Casillos received approximately $690,000 per year for 5 years, roughly $3.5 million total in exchange for confidentiality, an agreement to resolve any future disputes in private arbitration. Now, why would the Jackson estate do this? Is it because he's evil and he did these horrible things to them? Or did they go, these people are volatile? These people lied to us once already about his music. These people lied to us, God knows about what else. And it's only a matter of time before they start going down the road. Everybody else in Michael Jackson's life seems to like to go down when they get desperate and need money. Let's accuse him of doing something inappropriate. And let's get a settlement. If you're the Jackson estate, giving them some money, not necessarily to be quiet, but to keep them happy and prevent bad people from making shit up, is a very real thing. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people and making shit up. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm telling you that is a modality for some people in that level of power with that amount of money who are that big of targets. You happen to realize, ooh, some of the folks that I have in my circle here, they may have ulterior motives, and they may start accusing us or him or dead brother or father, who's ever talking about the estate, of doing things. And there's no way really to defend it other than let's just, you know, it's a little bit of money in the big picture of Michael Jackson land. Let's just keep them quiet because it's not worth the headache and the hell that they're going to try and drag us into to make some money. And over here, we know he didn't do anything, but that's not going to stop somebody from making things up and saying things out loud. That could be the thought process. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm saying that is a possibility. It's not just a, let's give you money and shut up because he's an evil, horrible person. That's not always how that works, whether you like it or not. And we like to deal with things on reality's terms here. So I'm not here to defend Michael Jackson, and I'm not here to exonerate Michael Jackson, and I'm not here to damn Michael Jackson either. I'm here to look at the totality of this and go, this seems a little off. And just because it's off doesn't mean it can't be true. Doesn't mean these people hadn't repressed something for all those years. And then somehow magically all these years later in 2019, they all finally got together and shared their story and they all had the same horrible shit happen to them. I'm sorry, I'm having a slightly hard time buying that. I'm not saying it's not possible, but you can't tell me in those decades of being pro Michael Jackson and taking his checks and doing everything to promote what a wonderful person he is. You could have just shut the F up too. You could have, I mean, if you have nothing to say, there's nothing to say. If there was something to say, you could have said that too. It's questionable. The levers being pulled at specific times in life. That's what I'm saying. I am not discounting victims. I am not believing them, but I'm not just going to believe any random person that comes up and says X person did something to me. Okay, let's look at the proof, because you know what? There's this magical thing in the world. People make shit up. So there's due process. That's how we operate here. And every single time Michael Jackson actually had due process, he was exonerated. So there's that too. Again, I'm not defending Michael Jackson. I'm pointing out facts. You may not like the facts, but they are the facts. So let's keep building on facts and trying to understand this more clearly. And again, I would love to get your thoughts in the comment section as we work our way and continue to work our way through this story. Because again, I don't know what the hell this guy did. He certainly had unhealthy relationships with children. Now, if he thought they were, that I guess is up for debate. You don't sleep in the same bed as children. when you're a grown-ass adult. I don't care how magical and how much you think you're a child and how much you relate to children. I don't freaking care. You don't do it, you idiot. But Michael Jackson is certainly an anomaly in the world of human behavior. In 2024, Frank allegedly demanded $213 million more. His attorney reportedly threatened to expand the circle of knowledge if the estate didn't pay. The estate reportedly responded by filing arbitration claims, focusing and accusing Frank of civil extortion. Now the family has filed a federal lawsuit demanding $200 million. The estate calls this a shakedown. The Casillos say they were coerced into signing an agreement they didn't understand by people who exploited their trauma. Here's a problem with dismissing the Casillos outright. We've seen this exact pattern before. Wade Robson met Jackson at age 5. He testified in Jackson's defense at the 2005 criminal trial, swearing under oath that Jackson never touched him. Then in 2013, 4 years later, Jackson's death, he filed a lawsuit alleging years of abuse. James Safechuck met Jackson at age 10. He gave statements defending Jackson during the 1993 investigation. Then in 2014, he filed a lawsuit claiming abuse of hundreds of occasions. Both men appeared in Living in Neverland. Are leaving Neverland. Both are still pursuing legal action. The explanation for this pattern isn't a throwaway excuse. It's well-documented psychology. Grooming doesn't just happen to children. It continues into adulthood. Experts describe a process where victims become so psychologically enmeshed with their abusers that they genuinely don't recognize what happened as abuse. They internalize their abuser's worldview. They protect them. They attack other accusers. This is a thing. Frank Casillo didn't just stay silent about Jackson. He actively went after Wade Robinson on social media before Leaving Neverland aired. That could be a defender protecting an innocent friend, or it could be a victim who hadn't yet recognized his own abuse, attacking someone who had. The Casillos claim that watching Wade and James describe their experiences finally made them talk to each other and discover they'd all been abused. Is that plausible? It's exactly what trauma experts say can happen. Is it also convenient timing? Absolutely. There's another angle that doesn't get enough attention. If the Casillos' claims are fabricated, why did the estate pay them anything? Well, we just kind of talked about that. The official answer is they wanted to spare Jackson's children, Prince, Paris, and Blanket the pain of a public spectacle. But Jackson's estate has a history of writing checks to accusers. The 1994 Chandler settlement was $23 million. Jackson said at the time he settled to protect his career, a decision he later regretted. At what point does protecting the family from pain start looking like making problems disappear before anyone looks too closely? Well, it also happens when you start paying those things out, and then you suddenly become an ATM for anybody and everybody who wants to cash in on reality or falsehoods. The estate is fighting hard to keep all of this in confidential arbitration, out of public court, away from discovery, behind closed doors. That could be about protecting Jackson's legacy from lies, or it could be about keeping details from ever staying daylight. Both interpretations fit the facts. One detail that deserves its own moment, Mark Garagos. He now represents the Casillo family, but Garagos was Michael Jackson's criminal defense attorney in 2003 and 2004. He declared Jackson 100% innocent in Good Morning America. He wrote in his 2013 book that the evidence was overwhelming that Jackson never touched the kids and called the whole thing a huge shakedown. As recently as December 21, he called Leaving Neverland a complete rewrite of history and an absolute travesty. Now he's arguing the opposite in court? Defense attorneys take clients regardless of personal belief. That's the job. But the whiplash is notable. There's also Vincent Amen, who worked as Jackson's PR advisor during the 2003 to 2005 period. He was named an unindicted co-conspirator alongside Frank Casillo in a new Channel 4 documentary called Michael Jackson, The Trial. Amen says he absolutely believes Jackson was guilty of child abuse. He claims he discovered material in Jackson's possession that he believed indicated inappropriate interest. So there's that too. But as in all of this, a man has credibility issues of his own. When he spoke to prosecutors in 2004, his testimony was so unhelpful to their case that they decided not to call him as a witness. Court documents show his statements actually defeated circumstantial evidence inferences and the prosecutor had made. Another voice of the inner circle speaking out. Another voice with a complicated history. So where does that leave us? Legally, the Casillas are trying to void their 2019 settlement. That's where Garagos comes in, while pursuing a $200 million federal lawsuit. The estate is fighting to keep everything in confidential arbitration. A hearing has now been set, but the larger question has no legal resolution. Michael Jackson was acquitted in 2005. The jury found the prosecution's case weak. He was never convicted of any crime. He denied all allegations during his lifetime, and his estate continues to deny them. Under our system, he remains innocent. And yet, the Casillas spent 25 years swearing he was innocent. And now they swear he was a monster. The evidence is their word against their own previous word. The estate says this is extortion from people who saw an opportunity when Michael Jackson could no longer fight back and couldn't sue them for defamation. The Casillas say they were children manipulated by an abuser, then adults manipulated by an estate protecting a legacy worth billions. And here's the uncomfortable truth. Both narratives fit the available facts. Abuse victims can defend their abusers for decades and later tell the truth. And people can fabricate claims against deceased celebrities who have no legal recourse. We may never know which version of the Casillas is telling the truth. The ones on Oprah in 2010 or the ones in federal court in 2026. What we do know is that Michael Jackson's second family is now tearing at his legacy. Whether that's justice finally arriving or opportunism finally succeeding depends entirely on who you choose to believe. The courts will decide whether they get their $200 million. The rest of us are left with a question that has no verdict. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love to get them. Substack, the link is in the description. It's right there. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Or Hidden Killers. Substack.com is where you can go to. And of course, YouTube, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to join us right there. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases that we follow for you right here. All right, we'll continue the conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.